Everybody, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Carrie Kasem is with us. Always nice to see you, little buddy.
Good to see you, too.
And we'll be down at the Queen Mary on Halloween for all of your Halloween excitement and entertainment. We'll be down there doing a live broadcast.
Now, let me ask you a question. Since you're doing a live broadcast and I'm going to come down and play with you guys, can't the people from the station dress up to, like, give the other people a show that can't dress up, maybe?
No.
It's for sure.
They don't allow people to dress up.
But we're the station, and I have a kitty cat costume.
Well, then why don't you come down next year when you don't have a kitty cat costume?
But I want to wear it and be on air too.
Jesus Christ!
This is disheartening.
Why don't you come for like an hour or so and then get your kitty cat?
You said for.
Yeah, come for an hour.
Come for an hour.
And then get in your kitty cat costume and go back to Studio City or wherever you live, Sherman Oaks or Van Nuys or I don't know where you live. All right, folks, it's a little after 9 o'clock, about 8 minutes after 9. We're going to do news with Gina Grad, everybody.
Now, from the 97.1 Newsroom.
Hear that one about Gina. Some say she's much too loose. That came straight from a guy who claims she's tasted her juice.
Here's Gina Grad with the news.
This song sucks. I hate you, Randy.
Jesus Christ.
I get so angry. I'm sorry.
Why so pissed?
I need anger management.
All right. Guys don't like chicks who are pissed.
I know.
All right, Gina, what's going on with that news?
Well, baby? A report by a civil liberties group has found that Los Angeles police officers are more likely to stop and search black and Hispanic residents than they are to search whites.
Who would have guessed?
Even though white people are more often found carrying guns and contraband.
Uh-oh.
The results of this study raise grave concerns that African Americans and Hispanics are overstopped, over-frisked, over-searched, and over-arrested. Even after researchers controlled for demographics and neighborhood crime rates, they found significantly higher stop rates for black and Latino residents. For every 10,000 residents, blacks were nearly three times more likely to be stopped than whites and other non-minority residents, facing 3,400 more stops. Hispanics were stopped on 350 more occasions.
Now, wait a second. I've heard this said on the air. This isn't my fact, but I've heard that if you look at the jails and you look at, you know, how many whites compared to Hispanic compared to black, you find that the Hispanic and black population, there's more. And so there's a reason. And now I have no idea. And I think it's totally unfair when you pull somebody over for somebody's skin color. But don't you think if you were a cop and you were in certain areas and, you know, that it happens to be more prominently more Hispanic or more black than those are the areas with more crime.
They probably took that into account, though.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's what they said, though. They said that they did control it for that kind of thing.
Right.
That's what they say.
All right. What else is going on with that news, Gina?
Okay. Well, Sarah Palin apologized today for suggesting last week that certain areas of the country were more pro-America than others. She said she certainly didn't want that interpreted as one area being more patriotic or more American than another. Palin made the original remarks at a fundraiser in North Carolina where she was quoted as describing her hosts as real Americans.
Mm.
And here first we have that clip.
All right.
We believe that the best of America is in these small towns that we get to visit and in these wonderful little pockets of what I call real America, being here with all of you, hardworking, very patriotic, very pro-America areas of this great nation.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you see Tina Fey do a takeoff on her?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Oh,
I did see that. Yeah,
it was so good. It says, I don't believe that everywhere in the United States is pro-America except California, New York, Pennsylvania, Florida.
She has a point. There are a lot more pro-American small towns that have a lot more people who are a lot more patriotic than
like
San Francisco.
Like fanatical patriots.
Yeah. All right, what else is going on there, Gina?
Well, Joe Biden responded to that. That did draw criticism from Democrats and people like Biden, who said last week that he hoped that was just a slip of the tongue on her part. And here's his response.
Here we go.
We are all patriotic. We all love our country in every part of this nation. And I'm tired. I am tired. Tired, tired, tired.
Thank
California!
You. All right.
Delaware!
He's tired.
New York City!
He's tired of getting Botox is what he's tired of.
Do you remember that guy?
Yeah. yes.
Howard Dean, or who is it?
Howard Dean. Yeah.
All right, this will be over in 2 weeks. No more clips of politics, right? All right, what else is going on there,
Gina? Well, San Francisco would become the first major U.S. city to decriminalize prostitution if voters next month approve Proposition K.
Hey. And her poo nanny.
Hey, yeah. Randy, gotta get up to San Francisco, man.
Right,
hey.
In her poo nanny. A measure that forbids local authorities from investigating, arresting, or prosecuting anyone for selling sex. The ballot question technically would not legalize prostitution, since state law still prohibits it, but the measure would eliminate the power of local law enforcement officials to go after prostitutes. So it's a little loophole. Prominents say that the measure will free up $11 million the police spend each year arresting prostitutes and allow them to form collectives.
I'm already getting my what's it called, loft downtown. Yeah, because that's right up on Castro, some real money.
Yeah.
This radio money is bull.
You don't have to do this anymore.
I'm telling you.
I bet you could get, you're a high end, you got a celebrity thing going on. You could probably get $5,000-$6,000 an hour.
Oh, damn.
You think so?
Easily. You know, I think if I went through like a madam, then probably, because I could probably take a high end cut. But you know what? Hell.
I don't think you'd get much.
I go out there and not give any percentage to anybody.
I know.
I'm done with the managers. I'm done with the agents. Without you
taking this as a huge insult,
yeah.
I think you get very little repeat business.
Oh.
Because you would just be so turned off by every one of these guys. It would be like going home to their wife.
You think I'd like hurt them?
No, you'd just be like, I'm not doing that. What? What you do? Want me to do what? Get that Christ out of here.
What do you think, San Francisco?
It's like the old joke. Guy goes to a brothel and he says, I'd like your ugliest, fattest chick to give me the worst sex ever for $1,000. He goes, for $1,000, you can get the best chick, the greatest looking chick, to give you the best sex ever. He goes, yeah, but I said I'm homesick, not horny.
Oh,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, what else is going on there, Gina?
Well, Democratic vice presidential candidate Joe Biden made an appearance on the Ellen Show today.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah, to talk about issues relating to the election. And in this clip, Ellen picks Biden's brain regarding Proposition 8, which would once again ban gay marriage in California. And here's what Joe Biden had to say about that.
All righty.
Obviously, a very important issue for me is gay marriage. And in California, we have something called Proposition 8. So I would like to know, which I think I know your position, but I'm not sure about Proposition 8.
First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Number one. Number two, if I lived in California, I'd clearly vote against Prop 8.
Fantastic.
And by the way, Barack and I both opposed a similar attempt nationally, mm-hmm. that there was an attempt to talk about a constitutional amendment, which I think is, I think it's regressive, I think it's unfair, and so I'd vote no.
No on Prop 8.
He's
fantastic.
So
that's what I would have.
Right. I absolutely agree with you.
I've heard him say that he would vote yes
full
on it, that he thinks that marriage should be between a man and a woman.
Then he goes on
Ellen and he says, no, the exact opposite.
You know what
this
happened?
Is uncomfortable.
No, you know what is the worst and the most annoying is when people bring out their kids and the kids are holding signs like no on or yes on Prop 8 or whatever, whichever is what. Well, these kids were holding all these like anti-gay marriage signs with their dad, and I drove by them, slowed my car down, and shook my wrist at them. Like, how dare you? You should know better.
Oh.
Like, you don't even know what you're doing, little child.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of that.
Oh, it makes me so angry.
But you're right, Tim. He kind of lied.
He lied.
Because I heard the town hall meeting driving to work that day. He said, "No, just so we're clear,
yeah, marriage
Mr.
is between
Obama
a man and a woman."
Fans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and he agreed. He agreed with Palin during the debate.
That's what I'm saying.
National television. 50 million people heard it.
But you know what? At the end of the day, Ellen got what she wanted. She said, so what you're saying is no on Prop 8. Go to commercial. Yay! So everybody wins, I guess. I don't know.
Two things. The gay people I know would never get married. The three gay guys that I hang with, they think this whole thing is silly. And second, I have a friend who lives out there in the San Fernando Valley. He was invited. He got an invitation Friday or Saturday in the mail to a gay wedding. Now,
oh, how nice.
Yeah.
You got to go, right?
Oh, absolutely. Of course.
How do you say no without looking like a homophobe?
Well, yeah, all you have to do is see a say you're out of town. I mean, it's,
Yeah, but when you say no to a gay wedding, they go,
Yeah.
Guy hates
That's
gays.
That's not true.
It's suspicious
true,
that you're out of town
no.
during our commitment ceremony. That's very, very suspect.
You know what? That's how you get out of it. It really is. You're out of town, you've had other plans, and you send a little gift.
But what if they say, oh, well, you weren't out of town for Bob and Jackie's wedding, and you weren't right. out of town
I've got
for
my
Dave
tickets.
And Susan's wedding.
I have to go. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Uh-huh. Here's a gift.
So long. All right, what else is going on in the news?
You can keep your gravy boat.
What else is going on in the news, Vicki?
Well, finally, in entertainment news, and I kind of use that word loosely, former Saturday Night Live cast member Chevy Chase gave the news magazine show Extra his opinion on Governor Sarah Palin's cameo from SNL last weekend. And here is what we have Chevy Chase giving a less than stellar review of Palin's appearance.
All right, Chevy Chase, everybody, who you may have seen lately in...
Fletch. Crickets and Tumbleweed.
Doesn't matter.
Fletch?
I wasn't even Fletch.
About 20 years ago.
Was that in the 90s?
That's what I'm saying.
It was
the last
86.
Time
yeah.
I saw him.
Caddyshack? Yeah. 70.
Anything that breaks this millennium, though,
the
Karen?
Last big know. Movie he ever made was Vegas Vacation
yeah,
in 97.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Remember that talk show he did for a while?
Oh.
Oh, Bubba.
I'm all right.
Oh, Bubba.
Don't gotta worry
I'm
about
Chevy
me.
Chevy Chase, and you're not.
But how cute
alarm.
Is that little rodent that comes up and out that he's trying to kill?
Yeah, that's a great movie. That was 78, wasn't it?
Yeah, 77? I was born that year, so it's 30 years ago.
Oh, wow.
All right, here's the very talented Chevy Chase.
What was brilliant about Lauren is that they had nothing written for Sarah, and that apparently she cannot improvise herself, out of a paper bag.
Okay. Chevy.
Yeah.
Please don't get down on the fact that she can't improvise. She's a governor. You can't improvise, Chevy, and you're a comedian, you're a comedy, comedic actor.
Yeah.
And Chevy can't.
Well, we know who he's voting
improv.
For.
Oh, I know
yeah, we know
for,
who
yeah,
he's. I mean, because that's ridiculous. You'd say if she's a politician, she's not an actor. She's probably never taken an improv class.
But when does society stop asking for Chevy's opinion?
That's yeah.
Isn't we're not there yet? Are we all there?
We're all in.
I agree.
Yeah,
I
did
right
anybody?
My hands raised.
I got
my
both
hands raised.
Did yeah. anybody go to bed last night thinking, I wonder what Chevy's opinion is on Sarah Palin?
Woke me
I
mean, up about
now,
4 in the morning.
Now, I'm including Chevy's family, his kids, his wife. Did anybody go to bed and while they're going to sleep saying, God damn, I wonder what Chevy's opinion is of Sarah Palin? Was there one person in the 6 billion people that live on this earth?
I'm going to have to say no.
It's got to be no,
nobody.
Right?
Nobody. Who? Nobody.
And then they asked.
Just
this
the
guy.
Cameras happened to be there, and they got an ex-SNL crew.
Yeah.
That's why they used him.
And don't you think he sounds like a hybrid? Like if Tom Brokaw and David Letterman had a baby, it would be Chevy Chase's voice.
He sounds like he has grapes in his mouth when he talks. You
well,
know
a little bit. Of, yeah,
yeah,
a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to compare, to a great talk show to one that wasn't so great. Take a look on YouTube at Chevy Chase's talk show, and then compare it to what Arsenio
Magic
Hall
Johnson.
Was doing.
Magic Johnson.
No.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, what Arsenio Hall.
Come on. How could you not get that one?
Yeah. Take a look at Arsenio Hall and his talk show. And
you
then,
go, dog.
Thank you very much. And then Chevy
right.
Chase and his
right.
talk show.
You don't
it
think they're
terrible?
You don't think they're comparable? Not a fan of Chevy.
Not a major fan no. of Mr. Chase.
Funny Farm was funny.
Funny Farm had one funny scene when they're in the boat, and when they're trying to knock him out.
Oh,
was that
yeah.
Funny Farm?
No, that wasn't Funny Farm. The only funny part of Funny Farm was when
maybe that wasn't even him.
The liquored up and pissed off postman who'd always miss throw their mail at him. That was
pretty
funny.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
All right.
It really
so,
never saw it.
Chevy hates Sarah Palin. Who cares? All right, what else going on in the news then?
That's all that's going on.
All right, the news with
too.
Gina Grad, everybody.
The news with Gina Grad.
Randy, you and the Timex Social Club.
Give us 8.5 minutes and we'll fill it with words.
All right, folks, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Breeders' Cup this Friday and Saturday at Santa Anita. And also, we got a group coming in, the Redneck Tenors. It's going to be very entertaining, man. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show and Kerry Kasem's with us. We're live on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. Harry Kasem is with us. And before we talk to the redneck tenors here, we've got to talk to Mike Willman and see what's going on at Santa Anita. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm really good. Hey. Tim, how are you?
Hey, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. What about undercoverdate.com? Where can I get some of that?
Well, that's for guys that are looking to step out, and I know you're a very committed man.
Committed to what? Well, I'm Mr. Mom. Are you
to the track.
Me? Thank you very much.
Hey, so what's...
Tim, I know you're always looking out for me.
You betcha, man. So now Mike is involved with Santa Anita. And what's your exact title out there?
Director of Publicity, Tim. Come on, how many
Director
of
Publicity.
You said that for a long time.
Jesus Christ.
How many comps do I have to get you before you got my title down, man?
I'll write that down. Director of Publicity.
Thank you. And Tim, you're a radio show host. All right, let's go.
All right, now you also have host a show of your own. Now, what's happening this weekend? We've got a big Friday and Saturday coming out at Santa Anita, and the Breeders' Cup. Full card on Friday and a full card on Saturday as well, right?
That is correct. We drew 14 Breeders' Cup races today at Santa Anita. Friday, for the first time ever, is being called Ladies' Day. And this will be the fourth time the Breeders' Cup, let me get the whole term in here, the Breeders' Cup World Championships are going to be held at Oak Tree at Santa Anita. We had them first back in 86, then again in 93, 2003, and this year. And in an unprecedented move, the Breeders' Cup gave us the event for next year as well. So it'll be 2 years in a row.
Is that right? Why'd they do that? I mean, it's fantastic.
Well, I don't know if they had any place else to go, to be honest with you, Tim, but that's a political backroom conversation.
It should always be at Santa Anita.
For 2010, but anyway, we got them 2 years in a row. It'll be this Friday and Saturday, and Friday, without question, the highlight is going to be just a magnificent filly owned by Jerry and Ann Moss. You know Jerry, he's the M and the old A&M record label.
Right.
Named Zenyatta, and she is beyond brilliant. She's undefeated lifetime. I'll tell you what, Tim, she's 3-5 on the morning line, and if she wins as impressively as she has been winning, and there's no reason to suggest that she won't, if Cullen, the reigning horse of the year, it maybe is off the board the next day, Saturday, in the $5 million Classic, Zenyatta just might have a legitimate claim for Horse of the Year. It's possible.
Well, let me ask you a question. Big Brown's not running, right?
He's out. He came up with a foot injury in a turf workout last week at Aqueduct, so he's been retired to stud.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think they might raise the ages for the horse racing instead of 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds, maybe go to 4- and 5-year-olds?
No.
Do you think they'll ever do that with all the injuries that the horses
Mike,
are sustaining?
I apologize. You're coming on a night when we have an animal activist.
No.
Let the lady talk, Tim. I'll be honest with you. I think it's possible, not probable, that we could see something, say, with 2-year-olds, where they wouldn't be allowed to run till, let's say, August 1st of their 2-year-old year.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, I don't think that's such a bad thing. It might happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many horses, you know, that I used to take horses off the track, and we used to try and rehabilitate them and get them to be hunters and jumpers or anything. And I'm telling you, some of these horses had so many back issues, hoof issues, or they were psychotic.
All right, please.
I'm telling you.
We're talking about the Breeders' Cup.
Up. Look at John Henry.
I know.
Look at him, 6 years old.
I'm trying to get you.
Winning
I'm trying
races.
To tell you to shut the F up, and you're not getting the hint.
All right, fine.
But
hey,
we're
Tim,
talking.
Believe me, I got to tell you, that's a little self-promotion here, Tim. You don't mind it. I bred a horse named McCann's Mojave. We ran him December 29th of his 2-year-old year. I just retired him here about a month and a half ago because he came up with a little slight injury. The morning of the Pacific Classic, we were going to run at Del Mar. He made $1.5 million, $1 million after my divorce was final, which really made him special to me.
Jesus.
And he won stakes at ages 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. He's not a gelding. Tim,
nice.
He stands for $3,000 live full here in California, and when we get off air, if you come up with a mare, you and your dad, I'll cut you a deal.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'm, in that position to throw money at a racehorse.
Why not?
With this economy. I can't imagine going home and telling my wife, hey, I got a great investment. I'm going to buy a racehorse.
It's not that much. It's not that much. You go to some of the auctions, you look at the confirmation of the horse, you get a breeder, you can buy one really cheap.
My dad had seven. My dad had seven horses at one time. Don't tell me it's not a lot of money.
I've had horses my whole life.
I said I cut you a deal.
There you go.
All right. Hey, Mike, who's the favorite in the Classic on Saturday?
Curlin. He's 7-5.
Yeah.
In a 12-horse field, and it's a terrific race.
It's going to be a great
weekend.
A
mile and a quarter. He's never run on a synthetic racetrack, and that's been a concern of the connections. His owner, Jess Jackson of Kendall Jackson Wineries, and trainer Steve Asmussen. But he's been here now since September 28th. He won the Jockey Club Gold Cup at Belmont on Saturday, September 27th. They flew him out the next morning, kind of unbelievable. But the owner wanted to get him out here and get him acclimated, and he just hasn't missed a beat. He's just a specimen of a racehorse. And I got some news for you. It came out of the draw today. Mr. Jackson's wife said that instead of going to stud, he's a four-year-old, soon to be five, January 1, there's a very good chance he's going to run next year as a five-year-old, which is just
Hey, Mike,
tremendous.
I know a lot of people are who listen to this show are, you know, they just want to know where to get beer and you know, where to take a leak. But when you're at Sanity now, are you guys going to have $1 million pick six on Saturday?
It's a $3 million pick six.
$3 million guaranteed?
$3 million guaranteed pool. That's right.
That's amazing.
Oh, that is awesome.
That's the good news. The bad news, to get in the gate, you're going to need your American Express card, Tim. I shouldn't be saying these things.
I know. What does it cost to get in the gates now?
It's only $20 GA. Not bad.
That's $50 not bad at all. Yeah. And you got some seats left? You got some seats left out there?
Yeah, there's some seats left.
What about boxes?
Yeah, there's some boxes.
And what do those run?
It varies.
It's expensive.
It varies.
It's like $1,000 a box, isn't it?
It varies.
Yeah. All right, you know, but it is worth it, man. It really is a great day out there.
Mike, maybe I can.
Producer, don't get specific with me. That's all my stuff. The office, man.
Hey, now you know. Unlike Kerry Kasem, I'm like the exact opposite of Kerry. I think that the jock should be able to carry two whips.
I was going
to
say, who's riding?
Yeah, whipping each
who's
hand.
Who's riding Curlin? Who's riding, you know, what is that, Galleon? Who's riding these horses?
Okay, Curlin is going to be ridden by his regular guy, Robbie Alvarado, who's one of a long line of Cajun riders. There's one thing they produced, three things. Four things. Crawfish, oil, quarterbacks, and jockeys, guys. And lots of jockeys. And great jockeys.
All right.
Eddie
and
on and on.
All right,
and
we're going to see you out there.
Be ridden by Mike Smith.
Okay. We're going to see you out there. What time does everything start on Saturday?
On Saturday, you want to get there early. The admission gates open like at 7 a.m.
Wow.
And I think we tee it up like around 9 o'clock, something like. Or wait a minute, 10 o'clock is first post.
Perfect. I think yeah. I heard Tim talk about bringing his daughter and his wife around 6:30 with packing a lunch, kind of like what you do at the Hollywood Bowl. Yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah, I hope it's not what we used to do at the Hollywood Bowl as kids. You know, we used to go see Stephen Stills and some of those guys. Yeah. But, you know,
I have a theory that everybody that goes to the Hollywood Bowl, even if you have a chick with you, that's just a beard. I have a thing. I really do.
Tim. That's ridiculous.
Anytime somebody has a sweater and they're bringing a lunch in a Hollywood Bowl.
So my boyfriend, who's a composer, whose music is his life, and he wants to go see a symphony because he conducts them for the
You'll
movies that he does.
Later.
So now he's a beard.
You'll find out later. No, you're the beard.
I'm the beard, but now he needs a beard, right?
All right, Mike. We'll see you out there on Friday and Saturday, buddy.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, $3 million guaranteed pick six on Saturday.
Mike.
Anything guaranteed on Friday?
Pardon me?
Anything guaranteed on Friday for the pick six?
No. Okay. No pick six guarantee on Friday.
All right, so if Friday's carries over, it could be $6, $7 million.
It's possible.
All right,
it
excellent.
Really is.
All right,
you know,
buddy.
That would be a life changer.
We thank you for coming on.
Ciao, ciao,
all right, there he goes, everybody. Mike Willman from Santa Anita. Look at that,
those
man.
Poor horses.
Oh, please.
Those poor,
we're talking to the guy from Santa Anita.
Horses.
You know, for once a year we have the guy on to talk about Breeders' Cup, and you're talking about how these horses feel.
It's awful.
You ever see the size of a brain of a horse?
And all the horses agree with me, right?
If you take a horse at full speed and you run him towards a brick wall and you don't ask him to stop, he'll run right
You're
into the brick wall.
Out of your mind.
That's
that
absolutely
is so
true.
Not true.
That's absolutely,
absolutely
true.
Not.
They can't see in
what
front of them.
What are you talking about?
A horse
about?
Cannot see it right
absolutely.
In front of him.
Absolutely. You know what? That is ridiculous.
Can a horse see in front of him?
They can see in front of them.
They can't.
They
their
can
eyes are on the side of their...
absolutely see in front of that. Like, we can see on the sides of each other. They can see
you
in front.
Full, you know what full blinkers are for a horse?
I do know what full blinkers are. Absolutely.
That means the horse is running blind.
No, their horses are not running completely blind. Yes, they can't see, like, they can't cross their eyes and see, like, to the point of their nose, but they can absolutely see in front of them. I'll tell you why.
They're the dumbest animals
no,
ever.
How dare you? My horse was the love
totally
of my
true.
Life.
Your
horse, let me tell you what that horse would do. That horse, the minute you started sliding off, would stop immediately. He was trained to do that. He would sit. And he would also nod his head if you gave him an apple. Like, you'd say, you want it? And he'd go, yes. I trained him to do way more things than I could ever train my cat.
I don't know. I mean, listen, you know, but that horse had, like, your crotch on him all the time. I mean, you know, of course that horse is going to be excited.
Yeah, that horse had my crotch when I was 8 years old.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, see?
Well,
now
maybe
you
when
feel bad, right?
Yeah, now I feel
now
bad.
Now you feel horrible.
All right, I don't feel horrible, but I feel a little bad. All right, folks, we have a great group in here in front of us. They have... been kicking ass, and it's become a hugely popular group. Billy is with us, Billy Joe and Billy Bob, and it is the Redneck Tenors. Nice to see you, fellas.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I got a little question for you, though. So it's Ladies' Day at the Breeders' Cup.
Yes, on
so
Friday.
So if we get there on Friday, what time does the breeding start? Because we, you know, just a question.
All right, and the Colonel is with us, too. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Thank
all right,
you.
Now, tell for people who don't know who you guys are or what you guys do, tell them a little background on the whole deal here.
Well, we was just singing up at our trailer park there at the Star Bright Trailer Park up in Paris, Texas. We was out in front of our trailer singing, and the Colonel wandered by and just decided to put us on that road to superstardom right there at the trailer park.
Right.
Yeah, it was good.
And this is, it's a great group. These guys, all three of them have mullets, and you'd think that they'd have no idea what opera is, but all of you, or all three of you guys, are like terrific singers, right?
Well, yeah. I
we
guess.
Yeah.
You know.
I
guess
hook up with them if
well,
they
yeah, I'd like to say we're underwhelming is what we are. That's true, yeah.
All right, we're
going to
hear a sample of it. I think Randy has a sample of your stuff in here.
Yeah, I have this, the Christmas Spectacular CD.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You guys have a track you like?
What track do you like off that?
Which one do you think? Grandma Got Runned Over? By a reindeer?
I like them all.
Yeah, by the way, on the Grandma Got Runned Over, the boys are the ones that are playing the instruments.
Is that right?
In the Dixieland
look
section
at
of it.
You
yeah.
guys.
Very cool.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and play this, then we'll take a small break and come back.
When we're done, can she make that little horsey noise again? I like
loves
that a lot.
That.
I love
yeah.
it. I
okay.
do it all the time.
I know, yeah, it was nice.
We'll do during the break for you.
Yeah, I think
all right,
we dated earlier.
Carrie
yeah.
Kasem is with us. The Redneck Tenors, you can hear a lot about these guys over the next couple weeks, couple months. And here's a sample of the music. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
As for me and Grandpa, we believe.
As for me and Grandpa, we believe. She'd been drinking too much eggnog as we begged her not to go, but she forgot her medications and she staggered out the dough into the snow. When we found her Christmas morning at the scene of the attack, she had hoofprints on her forehead.
And 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh, bury me out on the lone prairie where the coyotes howl and the wind blows free. And when I die, you can bury me.
Welcome back, everybody. everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. Carrie Kasem is with us.
This is great music.
Yes.
I like it.
And the Redneck Tenors. Nice to see you.
How y'all doing?
Hey, so you guys got second place in America's Got Talent, right?
That would be not true.
That's not true?
We got booted out of there pretty early. Yeah, by Sarah on the show.
All right.
He's a nice feller.
Yeah, now Eric Schatz is with us from Elemento Productions. This guy does more reality TV than anybody in television, right?
We're working.
Now, what's the show you see for these guys? What do you think?
The guys are in town. They're going to meet every network. Everybody wants to meet them. And so we're taking them around with a variety show.
Is that right?
So it's time to bring back variety. And
I agree.
Time for these guys to do it.
And we loved you on that Carol Burnett show.
Thank you very much. Everybody always thought that
Lyle Wagner was the most cute guy, but I had a little man crush on you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Him and that little Steve Corman that walked around, they were great.
Right.
Yeah, he was a nice fella.
Now, where are you guys from? You guys from the South?
Paris, Texas. Yeah, well, that's right.
How long you guys know each other?
Well, let's see. Since the war?
I'd say about 25 minutes.
Say about that? We were all just hanging out front.
Yeah.
We all go to the same barber.
Mm-hmm. We live in the same trailer park. So
yeah.
We've known each other for a long time.
Billy's a distant cousin. He lives like three trailers down. Right.
Where'd you guys train for this? Because, I mean, the singing is unbelievable.
Yeah, well, we all went to various different kind of schooling. We got little Billy. Billy, where'd you go to?
I went to that Shenandoah Conservatory of Music in Virginia.
Good for you. Mm-hmm.
Little Billy Bob. I can tell where I went.
Yeah.
Well, yours is going to be a little underwhelming after I say where I went to school.
But I got a funny joke.
Oh, you want to do your joke?
It's yours.
All right. I went to Juilliard. That's that little school, the music school there in New York City.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that impressive?
Yeah.
They let everybody in. You got enough money, they'll just let you in. It's all right.
I didn't learn a thing.
Yeah.
Where'd you go, Billy Bob?
I went to the University of North Texas, which is the Juilliard of the South.
That's right. But you studied ophthalmology there.
I did.
The study of dinosaurs.
And taxidermy.
That's right.
Right. All right. Again, Eric Schatz, I've known Schatz forever. Maybe 25 years?
We're back 20 plus years.
And this guy had a small little office in Hollywood, one room, and now owns one of the biggest production companies in the Valley. And has you got 150 people working for you?
We got a good solid 100 plus people.
What are some of these shows? I mean, for people who don't recognize the name.
I mean, we've done in the past. We did Kids Say the Darndest Things, Guinness Book of World Records. We do a ton of work for Discovery. A lot of the weddings and miracle shows we're doing right now. We have a Bear Whisper show we're doing for Animal Planet right now.
Bear Whisper?
The Bear Whisper.
Yeah. And you know what's great about Schatz? Schatz isn't like a typical Hollywood guy. If you come in and pitch a show to him that he hates, he'll stop you half, like 2 minutes in to go, that sucks.
It's time management at this point. You know? Everyone's got the reality idea right now.
He goes, that sucks. We've heard 20 versions of that, and I can't even believe I'm wasting my time with you. But what else are you working on now? What do you got coming up?
We actually just started breaking on the Steve Fawcett story, what went wrong with Steve Fawcett. We happened to be shooting when the Steve Fawcett story broke, so we were the camera that went up on the mountain and got all the footage.
Is that right?
Is that the guy that was in the front of his yard and doing his...
Steve Fawcett was the pilot.
Yeah, so
we're doing that for Discovery right now.
You happened to be there when they found all the wreckage?
We were smack dab in the middle of it, went up and found all the stuff, and ended up in the middle of a national news story.
Now, Eric Schatz, not only a lot of people know this, and I'm not even sure I'm supposed to talk about it, but F it. Schatz had a great idea, like back in the 80s. I remember this idea because it was one of the most brilliant ideas in show business. He had on like retainer like five or six great writers, right, that he just paid a monthly fee to. And then any time something happened, any disaster, they would start writing that day and be the first guy in Hollywood with the script.
Right.
We're big on the instant movies.
Were you hoping that Steve Fawcett was going to be an Amelia Earhart where he wasn't found? Did that kind of throw a wrench in your...
They kind of haven't found him yet. I mean, they found... Might be a couple of pieces.
He's probably been eaten.
Right.
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out, exactly what happened to him and what went wrong. But there's all kinds of great mystery because the safety belt was released.
Mm-hmm.
So how does the safety belt release in a five-point harness?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of crazy stuff.
Can you have the bear whisperer just ask a bear? Just say, did you see him?
Yeah.
Just go on up and whisper. Yeah.
The bear whisperer actually was one of the guys that was in the search party. So it gets weird every time to do this.
Who would have guessed that's how he'd have gone out, though? You know, guy who's trying to fly a balloon around the planet.
He had 116 records.
Is that right?
He's too good of a pilot to disappear. He didn't fly. There was no flight plan filed. Nothing. So wow. It's actually a great
mystery. That is weird. That's an interesting story.
He didn't file a flight plan?
Yeah.
Are you also
doing like VOR?
You know what? It's unclear. No one actually saw him leave.
So are you doing any kind of story on how quickly the family wanted him declared deceased to get at that dough?
No. You know, his wife, Peggy, was the love of his life.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great story, but still they had him declared dead in February.
Right.
You know, which was kind of unusual. Yeah. And they sealed the record. So there's lots of mystery around it, but it's...
That's going to be a great story. When's that coming out?
That's going on Discovery real quickly, as soon as we finish it. I mean, we're cutting right now as we speak.
Yeah. Schatz has the greatest stuff over there. Yeah. I mean, the guy has heard every idea when it comes to reality television. What are some of the ones where you thought was going to be great, and then when it came down to production, you just went, oh, Christ.
You know, we did a show called That's Just Wrong. Right. I thought it was a great idea, and it sucked. It was just a horrible execution of an idea. But it was a great title. We're big on titles. You know, we did Littlest Groom, Man vs. Beast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have some classics in our repertoire.
Yeah. Now, he also did a show. It was Tim Conway's Funny America, right?
Tim Conway's Funny America. We're an old man.
Yeah. My dad, you know, would go to, like, Salt Lake City, where, you know, fewer people would know who he was, and he'd be, like, a cashier or something, right, working in a store. And my dad's biggest fear in his life, it's not sharks, it's not a heart attack, it's not a building falling on him, it's being shot by a cop while he's doing a character, and the cop thinks that he's
crazy.
You know, yeah, crazy, right? And that happened. Yeah. Was it Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake City, we were doing a fashion police, and he was arresting people because their clothes sucked.
Right. He's impersonating a cop.
And so he's impersonating a cop, full outfit, and two cops roll up, and they start calling him, we have a crazy man on the streets. And he was starting, and the more you talk, the deeper it goes. Right. And he's trying to point out hidden camera, and we never came out. And not that we left him out to dry or anything.
Horrible.
But also, you know, the cops say, this guy must be crazy. And then my dad says, wait a minute, hold on a sec. He goes, I'm Tim Conway, we're doing a show here. And that's when they start calling him crazy. It's like, oh, this guy thinks he's Tim Conway.
You can use that again, right. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, excellent.
The guy thinks he's Tim Conway. And that's like, no, my dad starts pulling out his wallet. He's like, oh, no, I got to show you this. I don't want to be shot or thrown in jail here for this whole thing. That was a great show, though. It was a great series.
So he had to whip out his ID?
Oh, yeah. He didn't want to be arrested, you know, thrown in jail as a crazy guy.
And when did you guys finally come out?
Oh, they never did.
We just let him sit for a little while. It was actually pretty funny.
Was he not so pissed?
He was a little jacked up.
Yeah.
A little jacked up at that. But that's the thing. You try to find in these things, in reality, you try to find the thing that's not on the air.
Right.
And so, you know, at the time we were doing it, there was no hidden camera on the air. And so there was no candid camera at the time. Right. And it's the same thing with these guys. What we try to do is find, there's no variety on the air right now.
You there's don't no redneck tenors on the air.
No, right. None. Yeah. I don't remember any.
And every executive in town says, you know, show me something you've never seen before. And ultimately, when you show it to them, they go, what is that?
Right.
You know, so the idea here is variety's been missing from television. Yeah. And we take
why do you
these
think that
guys,
is? Why is the variety missing?
Because I think people get it other places. You get the talk shows, you get Oprah's, and it's sort of taken a different, you know, a different venue.
Right.
And it's a talent question. So how do you make the comedy and the talent? And, you know, reality, God love it, it's done well for me and my family, but
sitcoms
have gone away.
Yeah.
So there's a hole for comedy, and every reality show basically takes up two sitcoms. So there's been this sort of void in the marketplace, and our goal is to say, well, how do we do it? And we find talent. It's the right time.
I'll tell you how you not do it. Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey. Now, that was the worst variety show I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed that.
That was a good train wreck, actually.
Oh, go.
All right. The Redneck Tenors with us. Also, Carrie Kasem and Eric Schatz. Now, I heard that when, speaking of reality shows, that when, what was the show? I think it was, What was the show that was turned down by every network and then Fox picked it up? Was it American Idol?
American Idol.
Was that the show?
Yeah. Dancing with the Stars was the big one that everyone turned down.
Right,
Turned down Dancing with the Stars.
They had to do it in England. Once it was popular in England, then they bought it here.
But even when it was popular in England, they took it out here. I mean, the pitch was, we're going to do ballroom dancing on network television.
Right.
Okay, I'll take that show.
Now, is it true with American Idol as well?
American Idol was a hard sell, but David Murdoch called, and Mike Darnell was the genius that said, let's go with it.
Wow.
And so the
people who pass on American Idol or Dancing with the Stars, Don't they think about that every day, or do they get fired?
It's odd because they have absolutely no memory of it. It's a unique thing in Hollywood.
I'll tell you what's so upsetting is that people are so worried about losing their jobs that there's nothing, like, people don't buy creative television shows that may or may not work. They may be a huge hit, but they're so worried about losing their jobs. Right. All they want is something that already works, change it about 10%, and they put it on the air.
That's why we don't have jobs. We ain't got nothing to lose.
It's true. It's horrible what's happening.
The secret is that they never say no. They never say yes, but they never say no. It just sort of goes into
the ether. Hey, that sounds good. Yeah,
that's good. I'm going to get back to you.
Yeah, I'll get back to you. You never hear.
It sounds like you've been on some pitch meetings lately.
With me.
last 3 years.
Yeah, Schatz is the worst, man. He'll tell you, get out of his office.
Well, it was
great. I got an idea. Like, it sucks. Get out of here.
I haven't had that bad yet. I've had people say, no, it's not. No. We can't. I'll start to say, well, it's a motorcycle show. No, we're not doing that. We already have a car show.
All right, I'm going to give you tickets to ZZ Top if you can tell us what LMNO Productions. What does LMNO stand for?
Oh, you know what? I used to know. Wait, I don't know. Larry Moe and
Jack.
Yeah,
there you go.
Leave my name
there
off.
We go.
Leave my name off it.
Really? Does it really?
Yes.
Oh, then I didn't
leave
know. I didn't know.
No. All right, folks, go to the Improv tomorrow night at 8:00 to see the Redneck Tenors.
Are we there?
Yeah, you guys can be at the Improv.
That'll be
tomorrow.
Fun.
Right.
Tomorrow night showing up. That'd be nice.
Billy Joe, and Billy Bob, and the Colonel, of course.
There, yeah.
And the Improv at 8 p.m. tomorrow. And Eric Schatz, thanks for coming by. You're a major stud.
The best.
And you got Larry Goldman, the best PR guy in all of show business. Him and Mike Nelson, the two biggest and two best. Oh, no, Jeff's out there, too. You know what? You guys are all great.
Jeff's the biggest one next to Larry. Well, yeah. Larry's bigger than Jeff, but, you know. he's a Husky fella.
All right. We're going to go out here. What song is this? What we got?
We got LaDonza queued up.
LaDonza. All right.
Yeah,
the Redneck Tenors, man. This is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Kerry Kasem's with us. We're live on 97.1 FM Talk.
Ciao! La luna mezza al mare, mamma mia, si salterà. Mare bella per danzare, che in amor non mancherà. Già la luna mezza al mare, mamma mia, si salterà. L'ora bella per danzare, che in amor non mancherà. Già la luna mezza al mare, mamma mia, si salterà. Presto danza, tonda, tonda, donne mie, venite qua. Con garzon veloce, conda, ciascuna toccherà. Finché c'è al brei una stella e la luna splenderà. Il più bel cognà, più bella, tutte notte danzerà. Mamma mia, mamma mia, già la luna in mezzo al mare. Mamma mia, mamma mia, mamma mia, si salterà. Frinche, 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 mamma mia, si salterà. Frinche, 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 mamma mia, si salterà. La 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 la, la 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 la